You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
It's Wednesday night, watch along style. You know what that means. Ryan is finally done running from the grind. We are old, so we are doing a watch-along of the third hour of Dynamite tonight and reviewing the first two. Laron Ford's here. What's going on, man? How's it going? I'm excited to be back with Ryan, sort of. We had me and Joe last week. He is traveling, which is awesome. Good on him catching some Rocky Mountain air, but I can't even throw shade at Ryan because his Flyers won in such dramatic fashion the week he was out.
Yeah,
we still did the show. Like an overtime shutout win is pretty crazy. It's pretty nuts.
Wait,
but Ryan, how you been, buddy?
I got a question before we start. If this is not going to be Collision, does that mean we should do a Collider cast background?
Oh, we can. I forgot we did that because it was short-lived.
Well, I've gotten away. Which one do I like more? Yeah, we're going to do this one.
The dawn is breaking.
I want to see if he built in one with just the two of us. He did.
Hey.
I don't like this much.
Aww.
I like this one more.
There you go.
Cleaner. But I'm good. I'm surprised I'm here. Like I said, I thought the Flyers might pull another one and make me go. Not make me go, but have it be tonight. And I'd be like, oops, missing again.
We decided you were the water boy for the Flyers, and that's why you couldn't be here.
That would be awesome. Don't deny that.
That would be incredible. We have Darby Allin and Kevin Knight. I like that this defense is in here in general because, like, the story has been Darby proving his reign, right? So he's been against, like, Ciampa and Brody King and these guys that are, like, powerhouses, which Kevin Knight is not. So I like that this is a different type of deal, but Sting just came out, which is exciting. I think we're switching over to Collision officially. I hate that they do this. Just do it under the same telecast. I'm watching it on my phone because even though my internet is much better here, I'm still just too nervous. Like, I don't trust it, even though it's gotten so much better. Okay, now we're colliding.
I had my Sixers on the TV, so this was on my iPad, so I had to get out of the app to go, not out of the app, out of Dynamite to go to Collision, because apparently it can't auto-flip for me.
I know, it's so annoying. Well, Darby won in whatever that crossover was that I missed while I was fiddling around with my phone, so I don't even have the finish for you guys, but we got Scott George in the chat. We got Greg Cherry in the chat. We got Pieces in the chat. What's going on? We've got Sting and Darby hugging. Ryan, have you been on since Darby won? I don't know if you have.
When
I don't think you've been on since his title win.
I think I did one.
I think you did when he won the title, but you haven't been on since.
Yes, okay. I think that's accurate.
Darby was go-away heat for you. You just got sent in.
Damn you, Darby. Actually, I don't mind this rain so far, because like you said, it's been, how do I want to say it? Challenge after challenge. I like that they're treating the world title like it actually matters to a bunch of different people.
Yes, very much so. And it's like, for Darby, it's a good transitional reign type thing. MJF's coming out now. I think we all assumed at some point this was going to happen, that MJF was probably going to come down and taunt Sting, if anything else. Let me see if I can turn my volume up without getting us copyright stricken.
Put on my subtitles.
That's a good idea. In a shocking upset, MJF is talking shit about the Carolinas.
I don't remember the rest of the song.
MJF,
he's angry. He's
jaw-jacking with the crowd here. he is still intent on this rematch thing. Darby has been repeatedly saying, like, why? You got to put something on the line of yours.
If it were against any other person, I would think Darby's taking the heel way out. But it's karma for MJF.
Yeah, which makes sense with the story, especially since it took Darby so long to get here. Is this how Hanger comes back in the fold, I wonder? MJF offered a scarf. Which, of course, Darby Allin would want. He's offering to put the Dynamite Diamond ring on the line. Darby rejects it.
Oh my God.
Is he going to put Hanger no longer being able to challenge for the title on the line?
They already regret the decision or look like, let's get away from this.
MJF put $1 million on the line. Darby doesn't give a shit. He says he used to be homeless. Hi, Taylor Cannon. MJF gives up and asks Darby what he wants here.
Everybody's got a price.
Allegedly. Oh, Darby wants his hair. He said something that you value so much you would fly 15 hours to Turkey to get it.
Wait, so is MJF gonna win? I can't see him losing his hair.
Yeah, I feel like MJF wins anyway.
Did he already got the plugs, right?
I believe so.
Okay. Because if he didn't, I know you have to shave your head to get them. Well, you can't shave all of it. You have to shave, like, weird parts of it. But, like, it would be a way to build that in. But then he can't wrestle for a while when you get the plugs. And if you shave him bald, you're going to want to show that off.
If he was leaving for a movie role and that he needed to be bald for, that would be a super clever way to do it. But I think MJF wins, honestly. I don't think Darby's, like, going into all in with that on his shoulder. Oh, MJF is shaken, though, by this. I like it.
Darby should put his hair on the line, too.
He should, because it's just, like, a little tuft on top.
No, it's Okada.
Okada is coming out for Darby. He did say he was going to challenge for the world title earlier in the episode.
About time he challenged for the world title. Proper.
He said, I want more than my international title.
He had a good match tonight against Brian Keith.
He had a great match, yeah. He's been in a groove of late. He's the Okada we've known and loved.
They need to do more with Brian Keith.
They do. I don't know. I think Big Bill's in a contract year, so I don't know if that's been part of the holdup, but Brian Keith is awesome.
I would have leaned more into the bounty hunter gimmick and start him like hunting bounties.
I agree. I think it's the coolest version of him.
Yeah. Oh, man. Next Wednesday.
Darby Allin said, it's on, bitch.
I love the bitch. Oh, man. Next Wednesday.
Great Cherry saying that MJF stands for MJ Maxwell Jacob Follicles. Hi, Eric. How are you? Nice to see you.
Hey, Eric. Hey, LeBron. Hey, Pieces. Hey, Greg. Hey, Matt Reichel. Trying to talk about Judge getting 15 homers. Sorry, wrong podcast.
Hell yeah. We
only talk right about now, the though. Fact that the Philadelphia region has two sports teams in the second round that will both likely leave the second round, like eliminated in the second round. But still, we're there.
Fall.
let me be perfectly clear. Flyers shouldn't have even made the playoffs, and they got to the second round and beat their rival. And Sixers exercised their Boston demon and kept Boston from having a repeat year. I'm ecstatic. I can't.
Sure, no. Not a repeat year, but a champion. You should definitely be proud of being, like, first loser. That's awesome. I love that for
you. What teams do you cheer for again?
The first place Yankees.
Who constantly are eliminating the playoffs? Yes, okay.
Yeah, and I'm not like, what a great season. Yuckity yuck, I'm so proud of them. That's not my mentality.
Oh, I'm sorry that I cheer for my teams when they overperform. You can just...
it's called not being a loser. So,
okay, go back to cheering for the Steelers.
Look, I every year I complain about the fact that they're perennial wild cards.
I support my teams.
I support them, but I'm just also criticized.
You're just a hater.
I'm not rating them all on the fun scale, okay?
No, I just... The Flyers shouldn't have even made the playoffs, and they did. And they made it to the second round. And that is incredible. And now they're very hurt.
Incredible. AR Fox minutes. Let's go.
Apparently he's hurt.
He was hurting. I don't know if he's back proper or not, but he's facing speedball. So I hope he's ready to go.
Did you see the Speedball Kevin Knight interview from earlier in the night?
Yes, I did. Shall we talk about what happened earlier in the night?
We will. So we are. Is it me, or does Speedball almost look at Kevin Knight, like, lovingly?
A little bit. He's definitely Canadian. That's how I feel whenever I see his promos. I'm like, you're so Canadian. Because you're, like, disgustingly nice, and your accent is very thick. But there's, like, this endearment around their dynamic, for sure, which makes me feel like Kevin Knight is going to rip his heart out, which is sad. But let's talk a little bit about this episode of Dynamite. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody in the chat. Big G is here. Got some people hanging. We did kick this off with a Ted Turner tribute. He passed away at the age of 87. Today, and the right people were there to do it. Tony Schiavone and Sting were the ones that paid tribute, which is so perfect, obviously. And he was given a 10-bell salute. I thought for sure they were going to have MJF come ruin this, and I'm really glad they didn't. Because I feel like Ted Turner would have loved something like that, but I thought this was... They always do a classy job with tributes when they're not squeezing in someone's passing on commentary in 20 seconds between matches. Like, when they actually take the time to do it, they do a very good job with these. So this is how they chose to kick off the show. I thought it was a very classy move, and I'm so glad that Sting was there for it. That was a nice touch. Any thoughts on what Tony Schiavone said? You were also, like, a WCW guy. I was not watching during this time, so you probably have more insight than I would.
So, one, I'm glad they didn't do what you said. Now, if they do a second tribute to Ted Turner, you could do something. But that first one has to be legitimate, and because he really changed wrestling. I mean, they're, no matter what anyone wants to say.
Yes.
I was listening to your employer who steals you from us sometimes, Sean, and on his humping show today. And he had, like, they had a good conversation there where it was pointing out, like, WWE has kind of eliminated him in a lot of ways, Ted Turner, of, like, his contributions. And the truth is, nothing without him, nothing is the same. WWE isn't the same. Wrestling is not the same. He was on national TV with wrestling before WWE ever considered it. Everyone pretends, like, that Vince McMahon was the one who saw the need for national TV. And it was Turner that was like, hey,
sure,
come down, you Southern wrestling boys, come on my national product. And then obviously we can talk, like, the 90s that have been talked about so much, but it just goes so far beyond. And unfortunately, when he sold his company, he lost it. But he is by far one of the top, I don't know however many you could say, but one of the most influential wrestling figures in history, simply because he had the second biggest wrestling company in history.
Sure.
And but also, again, he didn't, the national TV being willing to put him on, you know, I don't know if, and no one will ever be able to answer this, But I don't know if Vince McMahon gets the national TV broadcasting he does weekly. Sure. If Turner has an established TBS and that, like, hey, at least there's some basis for this. It's a shame he's been basically written out of history because of WWE, because Vince hated him so much. But
it is funny that Vince lived long enough to see him have to get respected tonight. Saw like a couple of things about that that I really appreciated. But I also liked what Sting said of like that there were people on the higher up level, because like the thing with Ted Turner was always like he supported the ecosystem of wrestling. He probably wasn't like the world's biggest wrestling guy. Like when you look at Ted Turner's legacy, wrestling is not the focal point of it, right? CNN, Turner Classic Movies, like all these other things, Cartoon Network even. But I like that Sting said like that he stood up for wrestling when other executives might've been like, I don't know about this wrestling stuff. And he was like, no, we're in on wrestling. So I thought that was a really nice touch. A really nice touch by them. But we go to our AEW Continental Championship Eliminator match between Mox and Juice Robinson. Not a surprise here in that Moxley retains, but we do get this video of Will Ospreay training with the Death Riders and Moxley explaining the concept of Death Ground, saying it was a privilege to be in the position that Ospreay was in, but there is no other option for Ospreay than to focus on what's in front of him. And this whole angle has had me so intrigued from the get. I really, really love that they're like rounding out the side of Will Ospreay with this. I love that there's a Forbidden Door angle that crosses both programs properly. Like that's something that we don't often get. But I am glad that we've gotten this, and it's been kind of a pleasant surprise. And I think Will Ospreay can only kind of benefit from this from like what the real life perception of it means of like, he's not Flippy Doo guy, and like being under the Death Riders wing, I think is really interesting. And you got to think like, is Jon Moxley maybe preparing Will Ospreay for the Owen is kind of a cool possibility here. What did you think of the match, and what did you think of this whole angle? We haven't got to talk to you about this angle very much at all with Ospreay and the Death Riders.
So the match, I mean, I don't think it should shock anyone that Juice is still very over. Juice is awesome.
He's great. Yeah.
I did half expect this to be the return of Jay White.
I think a lot of people were kind of holding out hope.
Because that save with Colton back and all that, that would have been a cool save. And really, the Bang Bang Gang is really just missing Jay from being a more elite group. Like he could be their number one carry at all, and then they have all the other pieces to really be up there. So the match was fun. Moxley just bleeds a lot even when he's not supposed to. So the Will Ospreay thing, I have no go ahead.
They had said like that this was a bar fight that started 17 years ago and hasn't ended. So I kind of liked that. Like I thought commentary did a good job contextualizing it, and Renee as well with how this has been going. So I didn't mind that aspect of it because that's kind of what they said this was going to be. But I agree with you. That guy gets, I mean, his skin's got to be thin as paper at this point.
Oh my God. And he, so yeah, I liked commentary. I liked Taz's commentary after we did the Ospreay cutaway, where he tries to be like, you know, I had neck injuries and that stuff is definitely going to help you. Though I disagree. I'm not an expert, but that doesn't look like a good exercise.
In Taz, I trust.
I guess, but I don't think you're supposed to put that kind of pressure on your neck. I think there's better, safer ways to build up your neck muscles, but who am I?
Yeah, but they don't look as cool.
No, they don't. And I also, Moxley 100% just made up Death Ground, right? Like, that's not a thing.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. I'm like, I've never heard of this. You just made this up as like it's something we should know.
Right.
And then I like the Ospreay thing is fascinating because he's wanted by a bunch of people, which I really like, which is a testament to his talent. Each person is so, like, there's crossovers and how each would treat them, but they're so unique in their own ways. I'm watching this match and it's really good. Two,
yes.
Which Speedball just won, which was expected. I could see Ospreay going more heelish because of Death Riders, but I think that's going to be an uphill fight because he's so loved. It's going to be really tough to make him heel. I think while this storyline will make him tougher, I think you're going to have a, and I'm going to use this on a much, it's not going to be as over as this was, but it's on the Daniel Bryan Wyatt family thing where he refound himself and became himself again.
Sure.
Like, I think you're going to have that moment where Ospreay's like, wait a minute, I don't need to be you. I don't need to be a death rider. I'm me. Also, he wasn't that high flying in recent years. He toned that down tremendously.
No, but I don't think people viewed him as a fighter. And I think that's like what the intent of this is. But I agree. I think we're probably going to get to, as we get a Willow vignette here. I think this is going to be Will Ospreay saying, you know what, Callum Newman, I'm not a part of your shit anymore. Let's fight about it. I'm not a part of United Empire. I'm not an op. I'm not a Death Rider. I'm Will fucking Ospreay. And he's going to remember who he is, and he's going to win the Owen, and he's going to win at Wembley, all on his own. But we have Willow holding up her title here.
I'm on a Raymore and Flanagan commercial.
I am on, these kids are on a bike. I don't know what's happening here. Oh, there's a married couple running in the rain. What's happening?
And now I'm on a U.S. soccer commercial.
Soccer.
For the World Cup.
What's soccer? I am not looking forward to that. I'm very glad I don't live in like North Jersey.
Did you hear what the prices are going to be to take the train?
Oh, insanity.
Like hundreds, like what? I know they're doing one around Philly, so that's going to suck. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
Gouging to that extent is bananas. Especially for as shitty of a service as they provide.
Yeah. Did Willow get married?
I don't believe so. Why?
Matt Rykelius in the chat.
I don't believe so, no. I know she's going steady with someone, but I don't believe that they are married.
And they call it going steady. He literally bought her an ice cream and was like, hey, mm-hmm. you me, doll. We're going steady.
Not like wrestling pinned. So most of the people in the chat know because they deal with me and Alex on a regular basis, but Alex started one of those Tomodachi Islands, and Willow and Obafemi fell in love, and so they're married in that, and it's the cutest thing in the world.
She Maybe that's what he means, because he knows that.
That could be. The ruler of her heart is what she
asked. I'm going to be honest. I didn't see Alex being into that.
His daughter was, and so then he was like, I'm going to build an island of wrestlers and see what mayhem we can cause.
It seems like he wouldn't have enough control of what happened and it would drive him nuts.
He's pretty into it because it's really fun. Once Willow and Oba fell in love, everybody was in on it. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, great. Is that going to replace his Red Dead Redemption series and now he's going to do that?
I mean, Red Dead finished a while ago, much to my dismay. But
I'm just saying.
Let's talk about this Double Jeopardy match. Alex Trebek, nowhere to be found.
What made it Double Jeopardy?
Well, you get double the amount of money.
Double your pressure.
Let me make sure I have it right. Because fun.
Double your enlightenment with the right mint.
Okay.
This feels like something I missed when I was watching hockey.
Probably. I just want to make sure that I got it right. It was for Someone a shot at the tag titles, but I forget what was on the other side of it.
Was it a shot for the trios then? Like a trios and a tag change?
That might have been it. Where is it? Chat, help us out. Do you know? Title shots for both. Yeah, okay. Yes. So really, it's not Double Jeopardy. It's double title shots.
Double Jeopardy. Which on company property with company property.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't
right.
think you get how Jeopardy
Double Jeopardy,
works.
We're fine.
What is Double Jeopardy?
Oh, sorry, right. What is Double Jeopardy? Double Jeopardy, we're fine.
Such a great one.
So good. Orange Cassidy with Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, Adam Copeland, Christian Cage, Roddy Strong, and Kyle O'Reilly defeating Dax Harwood with Big Stoke dressed like Orange Cassidy, Tommaso Ciampa, Cash Wheeler, Rocky Romero, Trent Beretta, Dave Finley, and Clark Connors. This is an all-out brawl after the match. Roppongi Vice is laid out by the conglomeration, Cage and Cope, and the Young Bucks. I like the combination of people in it. It does feel like if you're having your mid-card title holder face the world champion and this happened in the same episode, you just have too many titles. We're getting another Death Riders vignette here led by
I want to point this out. Pac. Is Pac dressed like Mickey from Rocky?
A little bit. I mean, it's okay. Kind of a generic look, like white t-shirt, white towel around the neck.
Oh, but the hat, too.
Yeah, with that, yeah, the like the Death Rider beanie situation. It's giving Rocky. I love Marina just standing in the background. I do like that Danny Garcia had a promo on the last show and that Pac has one here. Like, Moxley is still clearly the leader, but I love that everybody else like gets little mic time and we get insights into where they're at, too. It's good
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. It helps everyone get over and keep them all in the background.
So we got Jamie Hayter coming out for her match.
I don't hate her it.
Who could? Who could?
Oh, I love Renee by ringside.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, normally she only does that for Continental Classic matches, but I like that they're introducing that here. We had
Jamie
a Rush
waving
vignette
to her
earlier in the night, which I liked.
We did.
Just nice to see like that group seems to be healthy and working along. Roosh is always such a badass, so we'll take it. Not mad about it. Any thoughts?
I love Roosh. I think that was one of the best signings they did.
Yeah.
Most underrated because like no one talked about him. He's always delivered. I mean, injury hurt him for a bit, but.
Yeah, he's always delightfully terrifying in the ring. Sky Blue is making her entrance. And in the second hour of Collision, I fear this Jericho return is very Ryan-coded. I feel like you will love it. I don't hate it, I will say. This is much better. And the match that he had against Ricochet was much better than a lot of his matches on the way out before he took his hiatus. So he appears for this promo, says he's done with the bullshit and demanded to face Ricochet right now. And Ricochet appears, challenging Jericho and partners to a Stadium Stampede match. And Jericho tries to take down the demand, but the darned numbers game gets him before the Hurt Syndicate makes the save here. Jericho also goes bald and punches Ricochet, which I am appreciating that aspect of things quite a bit. What did you think of what we got here, and who do you think partners with Jericho? Do you buy that the Hurt Syndicate is going to back Jericho up in a Stadium Stampede match?
No. I'm loving the Jericho return. Everyone knows I'm a Jericho-holic.
Of course.
Because of his days in WCW, he first got me. And then reading his books, I found him very enjoyable. This return's been funny because it has been a little bit of Jericho being Jericho, but you can also see the differences. He came back different, and I like that. Like, he is trying a slightly different character. I don't know if they're, I think the Hurt Syndicate will be his partner simply because it gives them something to do.
Yeah, they do feel a little aimless right now. So I would, it's a very weird pairing and I don't know if I buy it for the long haul at all, but it did feel like the Hurt Syndicate. It's like, if they're not holding gold, they should be going after it. And that doesn't feel like the program that's being built out in the tag division right now. So,
plus they just came back from injury, and I feel like anytime you come back from injury, you'll either sit for a while because they don't have something for you, so you're not being used, or they just throw you into any program to, so that you're on TV until they have a U program.
Right.
And the FCC feels what this is to me. It's like, yeah, you guys are just back. We had to keep going without you. Obviously, nothing. So we're going to throw you in this Jericho. Jericho needs help anyway. And honestly, depending on the Hurt Syndicate was fighting with Ricochet at one point anyway, so it makes sense. Like,
right.
They don't like him, and then that'll be an awesome match. I will say I love a good Stadium Stampede.
I love Stadium Stampede, and I'm glad to see it return, because we had Anarchy in the Arena, and the first one and the second were so different from each other that I'm like, I'm kind of pumped to see what this version of it brings. We move on to, as we're in commercial break live, Okada defeating Brian Keith in a very good match. Okada's been like in his Okada groove. This is the best iteration of his character. What's weird is like, I'm waiting for any of the promotions that Takeshita assigned to book him well. Like, he's losing the House of Torture in New Japan. Like, he's not doing anything anywhere else. This long burn has been, I mean, the longest burn to ever long burn. I think Kyle Fletcher's injury probably didn't help the situation. It felt like we were finally kind of picking up some speed here. But, like, it feels like a bigger blow-off is around the corner, especially because Okada is still calling him out after this match and says he's going for the world title. That, of course, got made official on the collision hour of this for next Wednesday. These Darby Allin defenses are sure to be wearing him down going into Double or Nothing, which is a good way to go about it. What says you about this match?
Right. I enjoyed the match a lot. I am with you. I wish Takeshita was booked a little bit better, though. I'm also thinking what you're thinking, which is Fletcher was going to be a bigger part of this story, and that changed things up. But it has to end with Takeshita taking that belt. Any yes, other decision, and you've wasted my time. You can't give me 6, 7, 8 months of like maybe. No.
Yeah. I agree.
And that's okay if you want to move Okada onto like a more world heavyweight title picture. I'm good with that. So even if he loses to Darby, maybe have it be in a unique way. Then he loses to Takeshita, comes back, wins a couple matches on his own, you know, does his own side thing, gets back into the main event. Like, I'd be okay because Okada's Okada. I will say we were talking about it earlier, and then MJF came out and did his promo. I want Brian Keith to be full bounty hunter. I want people to be like, I'm posting a bounty on, you know, MJF's leg. And Brian Keith's like, well, I'll do a match against him. And he just targets the leg.
Yeah.
Like, just be a fun, because there's not a lot of that, because I don't know what they're trying for him now. I'm always sad that him and Bandido never got the feud they deserve, which is the Bandit versus the bounty hunter.
Which could happen in ROH. Like, that would be a cool way to go about business.
That would be awesome.
I think they should, and it would give Brian Keith some direction as well. We do get the ops responding to the Death Riders a little bit, not like directly, but Samoa Joe, like, just the best at everything. But he extends his olive branch to Will Ospreay for joining the group, but says that handshake is going to turn into fist if it's not accepted. So he points to putting other people in better positions, like Hook filming a movie and all these things, as reasons to join the ops. And I kind of like Will Ospreay being the belle of the ball here.
Yeah, the belle of the ball. He is. He's just wanted by everyone. Yeah. I kind of want groups that have no chance at him to start recruiting him too.
Like MXMTV is like after Will Ospreay. That would be very fun. Like,
that just seemed to be a really, like, obviously they're one-offs, but just like they try to recruit him one day, or, you know, that just would be a lot of fun.
That would be very,
the Rascals.
As like a social media thing, that could be really fun too.
Yeah. Like the Rascals invite him over to hang out, and then he just
in their treehouse, and you just see him eating Krispy Kremes.
Yeah, it's like that would be ideal.
Don't hate it. Not mad about it.
I get every now and again I have one.
You got a good one. We get Sheeta and Chris Statlander defeating Mina Shirakawa and Harley Cameron. Sheeta is a sweetheart to your face, but when she speaks in Japanese, she's a total bitch. That's what you've been missing the past few weeks here, Ryan, and it is a hoot.
That's hilarious to me.
It's fantastically done, and she's killing it. I also love that they have Mina there to be able to pick up on what's going on and Stat, like, not really listening. So I really like this. I really like this. It's nice to have Sheeta back, and it's nice to have Chris Statlander doing something title adjacent that still feels important. So
my question though is, are we sure that that's what's happening?
We're not sure.
Know me. I have a running theory that Mina is actually a bad person.
And yes.
Maybe she's lying about what Sheeta is saying in Japanese. Well, then again, someone should be translating this, so I guess that doesn't last.
Yeah, and the online sleuths that like immediately translate these things, Sheeta's saying some pretty nasty shit. So
yeah, damn it, there goes that theory. Because even tonight's promo, but with Harley and Mina, I thought Mina kind of comes off a little shitty. I do have to say one thing, and it's just very funny to me. And it's so Mina rips off Harley's shirt. It's like, oh my God, I thought you were wearing gear. And then Renee's like, you got to get dressed. Her gear covers nothing more than that shirt, than what her bra did. Like, it is essentially the same
thing.
It's
basically the same thing. I agree. I don't know. A boobs jump scare in 2026 is kind of lame.
I'm not even commenting on the joke not landing. Because I don't think it did. I think there would have been a funnier way of going about that than that. But my point being is the gear. Like, the funnier way is if that she rips off her shirt and you don't get to probably get to like an undershirt that's just something really stupid.
Yes. I just like, there's a lot of tits on this show. Like, between Toni Storm and Mina and stuff,
my point is the way that joke works is you don't go to tits. You go that she tears off the shirt, and there's another shirt, and the other shirt is something totally stupid.
Well, that's CPA gimmick infringement, Ryan.
I don't care. I'm stealing the CPA's gimmick where she has like a
next
Garfield
thing you know,
shirt.
You're going to be like, let's go, girls. And you're just going to be stealing everything from CPA.
I'm just saying, underneath the shirt, she has like a Garfield shirt. And everybody's like, is that a Garfield shirt? And you don't know what you're talking about.
Can't hit on a Garfield shirt.
That would have been I'm with you. The joke didn't, and I don't think the joke landed based on the crowd reaction. But also, again, that's just what her gear is. Like,
yeah, it's not like she's hiding anything. Jamie Hayter just pinned Sky Blue in what looked like a pretty competitive but good match here. The Brawling Birds continue to thrive in both singles and tag competition. So good stuff there.
Out right now, Tekla's like dancing around and whatever with Julia Hart next to her, which is great. I'm not trashing it. It's just very funny to me. Tekla is the toxic spider, and you have the Sisters of Sin. Their personalities are very different in terms of the way the characters out there. Like, Sisters of Sin are dark and demented. There's not a lot of emotion to them a lot of times. And Tekla's like dancing around. She's got like all this personality.
Yes. It is because they're like the horror movie trope of with the Sisters of Sin, like saying the things in sync and whatever. But they're like, Tekla just oozes this charisma, and it's a fun dissonance within that group. Like I like it a lot, but I feel like Tekla can do no wrong right now. She's just been killing it week over week. We get this Swerve Strickland video. And he's coming for Bandito, but we're also getting this Don Callis family promo in real time here. Let's see what's being said there. Saturday in West Palm Beach at Fairway to Hell, Mark Davis is going to win gold for the family. Andrade's got his gold over his shoulder. And if you're asking how I know, it's because he beat Yota Tsuji for the global title.
Yota?
Okada obviously has his international title. We saw Andrade and Yota Tsuji the first match in person, and it was fantastic.
Incredible.
The second one is equally as good, if not better. Like, they just have phenomenal chemistry.
Let me just tell you something. Those New Japan shows are something else.
They are. They're a completely unique live experience to anything else yes. that you'll see. It's awesome.
I don't know if I could enjoy that type of thing on a weekly basis as TV, because there's just not a lot there besides the matches. But as a live
event. And they're a live events company. Like, that's
incredible.
Takeshita looks pretty lonely without his gold. Andrade just walked off. More dissension within the Don Callis family. Andrade feels kind of adjacent to the Don Callis family. I wouldn't mind him departing. I don't think they knew he was going to take off the way he did in his return. But he feels like a single star to me.
I think you can easily kind of push him off on his own. And it wouldn't even involve a heavy storyline.
I agree.
Like...
Sorry, go ahead.
Because, I paid Don Callis to let me do my own thing. And Don Callis was like, yeah, you made money on it.
Yeah, or just, like, the family is so loaded that, like, losing one member, I don't want to say feels insignificant, but, like, he has one title from New Japan. Like, he's also a United Empire, so there's some faction wars going on for sure. Roosh is about to destroy this enhancement talent named Manny Lowe. That Bandido Swerve video was very good. Swerve kind of talked about that 2 months he was out for. 2 months ago, he said he was out for power, and he kind of like defines what that means.
And it's about pride. It's about power. You got to stay hungry. You got to devour.
You devour. It's true. It's true. You raise a good point, Ryan. Somebody should write.
I'm a genius. This is a Roosh build up match. I love Roosh. I just do.
He's just such a badass. He's so much fun.
You know what? He's one of those guys, when he's in the ring, he's a badass. And then when you put him in a suit talking, it works too.
Yeah. He's just very cool. And then we had our title match, which the result of kicked off Collision. We had Darby Allin retaining over Kevin Knight. That dovetailed into the MJF segment that we talked about a little bit earlier. That was very good. This match was awesome. It's been really fun to watch Kevin Knight sort of blossom, and it sucks that Kyle Fletcher is injured and out, but it's an opportunity for someone else, and Kevin Knight just stepped right up into it, and it's been really, really strong stuff. He has looked like he... Because he did some stuff with TNA, and he did work in New Japan. Like, AEW feels like the right home for him. Like, he's just shining in a way that, like, all of his potential is at the forefront, and it's just clicking. It's just clicking, and he's been raised well in these initial year and a half or so. I thought the match was good. It was nice to see something different for Darby. What did you think of this title defense?
In a year and a half for Kevin Knight in AEW?
Maybe a little less, but it's been over a year.
Holy crap.
He's been signed for over a year. I don't know if he debuted within that time. But he's been signed for over
a year. It's over a year, yeah. Jesus Christ.
I know. Where does time go, right?
Oh, my God. Kevin Knight's incredible. I'm still waiting for him to turn heel because I think that's coming. I actually think the Fletcher injury put that a little bit on the back burner because they had Kevin Knight win the TNT and were like, all right. But I just feel like they're separating him and Speedball more and more. And you don't have to make him a heel. By no means. You have to separate him and Speedball, make him heel. But I just feel like they were leaning that way. It might go back to that. You're right. He's really been able to find his footing in AEW. I think, you know, compare companies or whatever. I hate doing that. But AEW is good for guys who are wrestling first, who have to find their voice a little bit.
Yeah.
Versus... if you're someone who's all personality and lack a little bit of wrestling, it's not quite as strong for you because it's just what is, you know, Kevin Knight comes in, they team him up with Speedball. They have a lot of personality, but they don't have to talk a lot to it. He gets comfortable. Fans love him. Now he's on the microphone. Now he's talking, fits up real well. We're in our main event. I forgot that Claudio comes out in a mask.
We are in our main event, a national title defense for Jack Perry.
No, that's not our main event.
Oh, no, it's not. Sorry, we just had a Jack Perry vignette. For some reason, I thought it was going right into this. We have the Death Riders entering right now. My apologies.
I'm assuming this is our main event. It's 10:47. Or what else? Like,
yeah, it's 10:47. It better be.
since we're ahead,
it better be.
And we did this a little differently than most weeks. We didn't get to talk some news and notes.
Yeah, we should talk about the New Day release, and we can certainly talk about talent being asked to take pay cuts as well, because it definitely affects the greater wrestling landscape. My boss at Fight Club, I thought, had a really great report on how that also includes, like, agents are just looking at these deals differently, like they're no longer guarantees are going to be honored, because the New Day departed from WWE. They were offered a restructuring that was, I guess, insulting enough that they chose to walk away. I do know from outside of Sean that I had heard it was very much on the table that they were considering AEW in the first place when they re-signed last year, but that 6 years and a disgusting amount of money, they felt like the security was there and they were going to stay. That report also included internal reactions that, like, if the New Day aren't lifers, I don't know who is, especially Kofi Kingston, because he's been there so long. But a huge swing and a miss, in my opinion, that if you need to shed payroll money, that you even have the New Day on the table is boggling to me.
Payroll money, my ass.
Yeah, and then, like, this, of course, comes on the back of the corporate side giving themselves these massive raises, the braggadocious nature with which they talk about WrestleMania profits, all these things. So it's a really shitty practice, and it's a really bad look, and they just don't give a fuck, is at the end of the day, that's what the deal is. Not to be thank God for AEW, people, but you say, like, thank God for AEW because of that, right? Like, if these people had nowhere else to go, and I think this is maybe why TKO operates this way, because UFC doesn't really have anywhere else for people to go in a real way, the wrestling landscape is shitty. It sucks. So I'm so glad that there's a place where wrestlers can make real money outside of WWE, because this is fucking brutal. Your thoughts on the New Day stuff, the talent pay cuts, and I don't think you were here to... I don't think we talked about, like, Motor City Machine Guns or any of that with you, too. Like, just that last round of 24 people being cut.
Listen, AEW can't sign them all, obviously. One, they shouldn't, even if they could. You shouldn't. That's just...
Correct.
But they can't. But there's some talents out there. Motor City Machine Guns, the New Day. I think you have to take a shot at them. I think both of them... It seems weird that you grab two tag teams at the same time, but hey, the company was built literally on tag teams. It's okay to have a division that's insane. There were some other names out there that I think AEW should have some interest in that could fit well. I think Santos, we were talking about him. I think he's a great fit.
Kaylee Ray is on my list for sure.
Yes. What's her the other big one that was released? The woman.
Kyrie?
Like, if she wants to, because that's a if she wants to call, because AEW's not turning her down if she says, hey,
right,
I want to. But I'm not. I will never claim to be, you know, the smartest when it comes to all this, or know the most wrestling, or even know the most business side of it. One thing I'm going to say that I was on, and you can confirm it, when TKO bought WWE, I said, people think the way Vince runs is ruthless. TKO is much, much worse.
Yeah.
They are brutal to their fighters, and they've been allowed to because, like you said, there is no other way for these fighters to make money. I mean, there's not even a thriving, I don't call it thriving, but there's not even, there's not even really like an independent scene that you have with wrestling. Like, yes, there are pro fights that aren't UFC, but they don't make nearly the amount that, like,
not even close. Yeah.
That, like, independent wrestlers can make. So, like, it's just not even the same ballpark. And then you add in a AEW. And I don't, again, thank God for AEW, but if it was TNA paying the money that AEW pays people, then it'd be thank God for TNA. It's whoever is there to pay these people that money.
Yes, 100%.
And give them leverage. I'm wondering if the wrestlers who use agents and all, most of them do now, I don't think many don't. I wonder, though, the wrestlers who have, like, the high-end agents, if they're going to start negotiating this, like, a sports contract where, like, almost like an NFL, where you walk in and you say, okay, you're offering me, and I'm using round numbers here, you're offering me $10 million over 5 years, and I don't know what anyone makes. Well, $10 million over 5 years, how much of it's guaranteed I get no matter if you cut me or not? And then they go, seven. All right, well, seven is your actual contract number. No sure. one counts on the act. I think they might have to start doing that, being like, you can cut us at any time. I want to know what our upfront guarantee, no matter cut or not, you have to pay me.
Yeah, and there's very few, but there are, I think Wrestling Observer reported this, not Fightful, just to be explicitly clear. A couple people have no cut clauses. I would imagine that your Cody Rhodes and your CM Punk's of the world. Like, I can't imagine that it extends.
CM Punk might actually have a cut clause just because of the way he came in, unless he's renegotiated.
It's possible. He might have had, because I think behavioral provisions are like an exception with that. Like if you do something illegal or whatever, I think that's how that works. But I know there's very few that have that. It's also just shitty because this is the only place that doesn't have a union, right? Like, this is something that has been a conversation for a very long time. And it's never going to happen. Like, I've accepted that. But it is what it is. So,
Laurent saying that TKO started acting like the NFL. I wish TKO was acting like the NFL because, again, it's like you just said, there's a collective bargaining in the NFL. Players have negotiated how they get paid. And the way the NFL is structured is, it's my favorite, not my favorite, but it's a really good league in terms of the way they handle the cap, which is you can cut me at any time, but I have a guarantee on that deal.
Yes.
And that guarantee is paid to me no matter what. And truly, what I've read and all is that when agents and players negotiate, they don't look at the full amount. They look at the guarantee of it and go, like, that $10 million is what I'm getting. Like, if my contract says 15, but only 10 is guaranteed, I'm getting paid 10. Chances are you're cutting me before the other five comes up. And you're right, but the non-guaranteed contracts are on, that is it. But except WWE's or TKO's non-guaranteed are great for actual TKO because they cut you and they don't have to pay anything. You're gone.
Right.
And though I do wonder, because like you read this and it said like TKO came to New Day and wanted them to take a 50% or whatever the cut was. 50%, yeah, the numbers are out there. And they decided no and they agreed to walk away. I wonder what kind of like the high end contracts for some of the big guys, even if it's not a no cut, I wonder what kind of clauses they do have built in there for the cutting. Like, do I get a paid percentage if you like?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to affect all free agents now. Like,
I think like very, very much so. And to the New Day's credit, they walked away and still left millions on the table. It was just so insulting. And I'm sure AEW is willing to pay them a lot. But even the idea that like they offered Xavier Woods a digital contract to like function like Tyler Breeze does, I was like, man, that's so fucking insulting. Because it was like all his creation and they're like, hey, we'll pay you to keep your own thing going is just so shitty. And after all the years, even there were just things in that report, like they were supposed to issue a joint statement publicly saying, like, thank you so much for all your contributions over the years, and that didn't happen. That's rough. That's like, why doesn't that get issued? That's stupid.
People complain about some of the stuff, and again, I'm not one way or the other. AEW is not perfect with how it handles people and contracts and stuff like that, but as annoying as it can be, I will always respect that AEW for 90-some% of its wrestlers have let wrestlers live out the life of their contract.
Yeah, 100%.
So they may shelf you, and that really sucks. And I hope you, like, but you're paid at least you know you're making your money.
You're making your money. Most of the people that are shelved, I think, are able to do independent dates, so that's good. And I think there's something important to that of the employer being the one to uphold their word, I think is just something that's important. And you were saying from the beginning, and a lot of people were, that like TKO is bad for fighters. Like they had people that got moved to commentary roles from UFC because they were so fucked up from fights, and they were like, "Eh, we're just gonna cut them." Like these people that like Dana White was trying to take care of, at least. So
they had no loyalty to anyone. TKO is, yeah. You know, and it's. But now, if you're a wrestler, you're, and I don't know who the next big free agent is. So I'm just gonna throw out a name, and I don't think they're a free. Well, no, we'll look at Jericho that just. Came back. Sure. Now, obviously, Jericho re-signed before this came out. But say his signing occurred 6 months later, and he's looking at it, and he goes, "Man, WWE's offering me a lot more, but they can cut me the next day if and it's not even that they can, they there's as much of a good chance as that they will, versus that they won't cut me at any given point. Whereas AEW's paying me less theoretically." But I'll live out my contract there.
Right.
Like that. So now you're a big number that WWE's throwing out to like say, "Oh man, we'll pay you $1 million a year." If you're wrestling and AEW's only offering you $650, and you're like, "Okay, but AEW's guaranteed to keep me for the 3 to 4 years that I'm signed. You may cut me after one. So you're paying me more has now become less."
Sure. And like it's shitty because that would be a retirement run too, and I could see them doing that. I think that's what happened, I think, the first time around with Bray Wyatt, was he was just expensive, and so they just cut him. Like, despite the fact that he was, like, owned a very specific niche that was so well supported by that company. So I don't know. I don't know. It's certainly a shift in mentality. I also don't like this thing where they are just letting people go while injured. I think that's really fucked up. I think it's really fucked up what they did to Santos of re-signing him, not using him on TV, having him and his second bicep surgery get cut. And I think the report was he's not allowed to use their facility to rehab it, which I would imagine is very illegal. But very much only about the bottom line. You can feel it in the product too. It makes the product feel incredibly soulless.
Well, that's why they don't care about the prices.
Yeah, they don't.
They will eventually adjust them
once they stop selling. Like we saw that with WrestleMania, right? So it was like they got 25% off because they didn't sell out. It's all that shit.
You know, I'm not one to try to be like, oh, because I try to watch. I mean, I can't watch all wrestling. I got other stuff going on, but I do try to watch every company. And there's certain things I love, but like, it does make it like you start to feel a little bit towards one versus the other. And you're like, at least these guys are getting their contracts lived out. Like, there's
when
never
it's
been
the practices of the company. I don't consider that tribalistic. What it's like, This style of wrestling is better and you're dumb for liking that style. That's completely differently because it's in this case, a wrestling company actively working against their own wrestlers while giving themselves huge raises while other people go out and risk their lives and careers every day. Like
there's never been there's never been a day of like 12 AEW releases at once. Like there's not just
that. Half of the ones that got released were requested, or like and problematic,
And that day has never happened, especially never happened after they just reported all the money they made. And I've said this a couple of times, and I never got to say it on air. I've just texted all. I look at it like if you're a quarterback in baseball, catcher in baseball, or something like that. If 10 catchers get released on the same day or come to the market, I should say, on the same day, it screws all of them because there's just – who are they going? There's only so many spots to be filled. There's only so much money to go around.
Yeah.
So by – like if you release one guy here, well, he's going to get to make a couple indie spots just because he's the new big name on the market. AEW might have to worry about paying other guys. You release 10. How many indies can sign all 10 guys to do their big spots? How can AEW negotiate with 10? Like, you flood the market. You've doubly screwed these wrestlers because
especially when TNA is now aligned with you, right? Like, so that just makes it weird. They picked up released wrestlers. Don't get me wrong, but it's like it's that you now have a loyalty to a certain ecosystem, which is not it's unhealthy for wrestling. I love AEW partnering with New Japan, but I can't say it's like healthy for wrestling because there's no obvious third anymore. Like MLW would have to turn it way, 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 way up. And even they have kind of been like, we'll work with MJF. We kind of lean a certain way. So
yeah, I mean, even with TNA, so long as the company is willing to sign the free agents and not worry about pissing off the company that just let them go, I'm good with everyone working together. But again, it's just like you have. Okay, I don't understand what's going on here. Why are the Young Bucks just watching this happen?
Because they're not legal.
I guess just be illegal, but I'm just like, again, you put all these wrestlers on this, like when a wrestler gets released from WWE, before they find their footing in indies or AEW, a lot of what they do is they'll do their WWE name indie run, where like they get a bunch of quick dates based off of they're just out of WWE, they make some quick money, and that gives them time to figure out what they want to do and who they're going to be as an indie wrestler. You do all these at once, some of them are not getting that booking. You just take a month.
Sorry, I'm also realizing that there's an overrun on a 3-hour block of programming.
Jesus Christ.
It's so frustrating when they do this. But you're right, like there's only so many spaces, and honestly the AEW roster is already so loaded. Like that's part of it here. And it's like the people who would want the options of now working in WWE. Like, it's not like, oh, I choose vanilla over chocolate. It's like, now it's like, you have to look at your long-term stability in an entirely different way. An entirely different way.
Oh, by the way, 1LT, I am not helping you pick a birthday gift for Kate.
I want my TMDK tracksuit. That's what I told them.
And you're not getting it.
I so am.
Not from me.
No, not from you.
And then I'm going to steal it. If I see it delivered, I'm stealing it.
You can't because I have a fancy pants mail room now.
Damn it. I'm used to the old place where I could
I know. Lie. You can just go on my porch.
Not just pretend that I had the ability.
It's true. No, now I have a little secure mail room with an app that lets me know when things are in. Actually, I have to run down there in a little bit. I have new pillows waiting for me.
Timothy Drake saying in Canada, AEW ended tonight with Darby pinning Knight. They didn't get the third hour of Collision. That's wild.
Oh, that's weird and dumb. Get my AEW, I guess.
Yeah, that's... You know, I was thinking the other day how much I missed the WWE Network. I just like when all my stuff is in one place and I don't have to hunt it down.
And that's whenever I do NordVPN... ad reads for Fightful, like it's not just, I'm always like, yeah, it saves you money and all these things, but like the login fatigue is what I like for it, because all my WWE shit's on Netflix when I am in Canada, but like that's genuinely like what I use to promote it, because I'm so fucking sick of having 87 different streaming services to watch one sport. It's so annoying, and one promotion at that, like enough. I don't want to watch it on 8 different things. It's so annoying.
Streaming, who knew we'd miss cable?
I honestly, like, I do. If it wasn't so fucking expensive, I miss the interface. I miss being able to, like, flip through channels.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, who knew we'd, like, I, like, here's the thing about streaming. You can't go back and forth easy.
Right. It's, yeah. Because it's all, they're separate ecosystems. So, it's annoying. And now it's, like, almost as much anyway. It's just annoying.
I'm going to start a system that has all the streaming on one thing, and you get a box that you can just put in your house and a remote to change the channels.
That's never been done before. That's a really unique idea. You can call it Woof. W-U-P-H, Woof.
Laurent has a question that I'll allow you, because I know Laurent's a Fightful person, so you can... Does NordVPN work for watching baseball too?
I believe so. I don't need it most of the time. But yeah, like that's how I watched football. I can't imagine that would be the case with baseball. But NordVPN.com, code Fightful. I'll chill over here too. There's nothing you can do about it.
By the way, I love Ace Austin as part of the Bang Bang Gang.
It's great. It's great. And there's like the enough history there that that makes sense. I gotta be hoping that Jay White comes back soon. I can't believe we're getting a fucking 10-minute overrun on a 3-hour block.
Because yeah, Jay White, like I said, he takes them to, oh, they won too. Wow.
Hey.
But Jay White takes them to the elite level. To like, now you have your main eventer, you have your tag teams, you have your guy like Ace Austin who can go, juices that the personality.
Yeah, it's just like a, it's the missing piece. Like it's,
you're missing the main eventer. You're missing the guy who can do, the guy who can wrestle Okada, the guy who can wrestle Ospreay, and everyone believes it. Like
the guy who can transform into a knife because he's a switchblade. That guy.
Yeah,
every group needs one guy that can transform into a knife.
Form of.
Ooh. I didn't see Moxley had such a nasty gash there.
Yeah, he bled the hard way.
I knew it like he probably wears it as a badge of honor though. He probably was like, "Don't even clean me up."
Part of me thinks that almost looks like rug burn's not the way to say it. I guess ring burn or something. Like his face got scraped against it or something.
Yeah, it's very like sharp. It's weird.
What would you think of Collision?
I thought from what I was paying attention, it went fast, which is always the beauty of Collision because it's so ring focused. So I thought it was good. It feels a little superfluous, but usually these 3-hour blocks do.
3 hours is just too much wrestling.
Yeah, it's a lot, but it's at least 3 hours of wrestling. Like it was a very ring focused hour, so that always makes me happy. Like that.
You mean it's not a 4-hour show that's supposed to be your biggest show of the year, and it has more than half of it be commercials?
Drives me mad, I tell you. Driving me mad. But that's it, Ryan. That was our Collision. That was our Dynamite recap while we were watching Collision along. What did you think of Collision?
I enjoyed it. I love watch alongs can be fun because you talk all about some stuff and then you get to shoot the shit a bit. And I love the Bang Bang Gang, and I know they're more of a Collision team. So
I love the Bang Bang Gang too.
I was always a fan of the Ass Boys.
That's true.
You know, and Juice is right up my alley. I mean, Jesus Christ. I love the characters. I'm a character guy.
You do. You're a character guy. You're a character yourself.
No, me.
Ryan. Ryan, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on all our socials at Mark Order Pod. You will. Mm-hmm. You can follow. You can watch my old. I say old. They're already released episodes of my history. Podcast video collection on YouTube or podcast at Here for History at _ Here for History on Twitter. More will be coming. I had a whole bunch of real life stuff. Some of it's history, but a whole bunch of real life life and history stuff that I had to get done. And there's only so many hours in the day. Yeah.
It's true. It's unfortunate, to be honest.
Now, Kate, I know that they all know where they can find you because you're there every night when you're not here. But when you're not here, where are you fighting?
I can't talk about it because it's a club of swords. But if you had to maybe look it up, I would be at Fightful YouTube. My own stuff is also coming alive a little bit. I'm doing some more fun stuff on social media and my own YouTube channel as well. So check me out at Miss Kate Fabe on those for the time being. I think by my birthday, it's going to be rebranded as something a little bit different, but I'll still have the Miss Kate Fabe name because it's just too good of a pun. But thank you for joining us tonight, Tim. Sorry we missed you. We were doing it watch-along style because we didn't want to start our post show at 11:10 p.m. It's 11:11 now. Make a wish.
You're still here.
Did you make a wish?
Yeah, you're still here. It didn't come true.
Well, you're frozen, so you're basically out of here, and we're going to get out of here. So, Ryan, narrate your production cues for how we end the show.
Okay, I find, and I don't even know where, oh, they put the outro overlay on. I turn up the volume for the song, and I hit outro.